It's with such joy that I come here this morning. Adrian and I, we did a lot of singing, but my heart is when I can share the Word of God and who our Savior really is. And also, I'm very glad that you had the video of the children. And I just want to share this. In today's world, everything that would benefit them, like the name of Jesus, prayer, the Word of God, if you think about it, everything's been taken away from them and almost becoming, well, and being unlawful. So if we want our youngsters to know this story and this account and who Christ is, we must tell them. And not only tell them, but live the result of who Christ is when His Spirit dwells within us. So this morning, I want us to take a different look than we did last year. And we are going to take a look today at Joseph. Last year, I talked about the Luke 2. Now I am in Matthew 1, and we're going to take a look at Joseph. Before I go to that, I want to share that John 4:24 says that God is a spirit, and we worship Him in spirit and truth. And when Christ Jesus was born, it was the first time that the heavenly host and mankind could look on the face of God, because Jesus Christ is very much God as well. So before we start, let's give it to the Lord. Father, how we thank You, how we praise You, that even in the age in which we're living, when we look at things around us that look so bad, yet, Father, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, as the song says, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. So I pray, Father, that You will flow through me and that Your purpose for this morning will be completed. And it's all in the name of our wonderful risen Savior that we pray, in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. As we look into Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. In those days when you were betrothed, it was like a marriage. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, Joseph was handpicked by God. God had a purpose for Joseph. He was very young, as was Mary. And Joseph, of course, was in the house of David. We see that in Luke 2:4. And that he was young, but he had proven himself to be strong, faithful, trustworthy for such an assignment, and spiritually attuned to God. as we see in this passage, when this angel came to him in a dream, he was attuned to the things of the Lord. And he also was a carpenter. Now, when we think of a carpenter, we think of someone who works with wood. Actually, the Greek translation at this time for carpenter is tekton. Tekton worked with, like a mason, in stone and in marble and created things, because where they lived, wood was very, very scarce. And they could work with wood from time to time, but their main work was in stone and marble and the beautiful things that would be made. And I remember when we were in Scotland and some of the floors that they found, that's the type of work, the beautiful work that was done. Jesus himself was a carpenter, and we're going to take a look at that. Also, we see that Joseph, after the birth of Christ, we don't hear from him anymore. And then when there's references to Jesus, they talk about Mary, his mother, but they don't mention Joseph. So Joseph had a purpose, which was to be the earthly father of Christ, but not the real father of Christ, because that is the Lord himself. And so as we look at the fact that Christ was a carpenter, a tekton, and his ability to work in stone and marble, and to realize that he could take something that didn't look like much and turn it into something beautiful. And as I was studying this, I thought, you know, there's references in Scripture in Peter when it said, the Lord is building his church stone by stone, making this magnificent edifice, as we see in Peter, as I said. And that we, in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, the workmanship of Christ himself, the Lord himself, God himself, as he works our lives to make it into something beautiful. His divine power, his divine creative power in a life. And remember, in Scripture, it says that apart from Christ, we are dead in sin. What can a dead person do? Nothing. If you see a dead person there and you say, get up, he can't. He is dead. That is our position before Christ enters and works in our life. He is the master builder, and he is the master of builder of lives that are hopeless, are working through all kinds of problems. And I think when we look at the world today, we can see what we're talking about more now than ever before. There doesn't seem to be any hope in the world. But we who know Christ as our Savior, we have hope. And our hope has a name, and his name is Christ Jesus. And once you get a glimpse of who he truly is, the massive, creative, divine power of Christ himself, we begin to get a look at what we are celebrating in a whole new light. How many times have you heard the Christmas story? And how do you feel when you hear it related again and again in Scripture? But what I want us to do this season, if you have a chance, just by yourself, go in the Word of God and really get a glimpse of who your Savior really is. And yes, as you had your prayer requests, there are many that have cancer. There are many that are ill. There are many that suffer with things just for being old. And I can tell you, I deal with them too, since I'm 86 years old. My husband deals with it because he had COVID and what it did to him. But remember this, there's no redemption for the clay pot. The life that lives inside, that was created by Christ himself, this life that we can live right now in the power of the resurrected Christ who was born into this world, is going to be clothed in a body like Christ's. I want us to think about that when we see our friends who are suffering, those that have passed away. Oh my goodness, sometimes I almost envy them because they're in the presence of the Lord. They're seeing the Savior. We now walk by faith, the faith in the purpose of Christ and by God the Father when Jesus Christ was born in this world. I've got to tell you that I was saved when I was very young, but it wasn't until I was in my 40s and really got into the Word of God and had to study it day after day after day to be a discussion leader in Bible Study Fellowship that I got a glimpse of who my Savior really is, that I must say actually took my breath away. And I believe right then and there that God wanted me to know who I belong to and the power of the life that lives within us, because he had a ministry for us that we never thought about. And as we just let go and went out there, the Lord himself knows the trials that we face, and he knows exactly how he's going to walk us through it, because that child was born, came into the world. And sometimes I think we don't really think about that, what that means, that God himself in Christ as a vulnerable baby. And I know I went through that last year. The ultimate sacrifice. And just as a little reminder, when the angel said, "This will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Do you remember what I said about that? That was the sign, because these shepherds that worked with these lambs that were going to be sacrificed, they would take that lamb and wrap it in swaddling clothes and lay it in a manger to protect it. That was the sign. This is the ultimate sacrifice for sin. The ultimate sacrifice, which was Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness, what a gift we have. If we never opened a present, we have the most powerful gift that the world has ever known. And I just want to say this. Do you ever wonder, why is it that you can mention any other religion, Islam, Buddha, name it, you don't see opposition? But name the name of Jesus Christ, and you know what happens. It's their laws against his name, laws against the word of God. Why is that? Because Satan himself knows that Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father, and he's fighting it with everything he's got. But remember this, you have the Spirit of the Lord living in you when you know Christ as Savior. And he, with his divine creative power, has fashioned you for his purpose. And in Ephesians 2:10, as I said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. At that point, the Holy Spirit that lives within us is doing the work, because we in ourselves cannot, and it would value nothing. But his Spirit in us doing it, that's what does it. And then I just want to give you a demonstration of what this creative divine power can do in a life. Aidan and I have made 6 trips to Scotland. We've sung all over Scotland. We did a lot of Bible studies. I did women's ministries in Scotland. And when we were working in the Gorbals, that's in Glasgow, they would come, and then the first part of the night I would speak, and then the Scotsmen would have their tea and biscuits, and then Adrian would do the last part, or maybe it was the other way around. But I want to tell you about this, because this is what I'm talking about. A man came in, his name was Gordon Nichols. He'd lost everything because of drinking and the life he was living. He lost his family, he lost his job, he lost everything. And he was ready to jump out of his apartment window because he was up on one of the floors. He was going to lose that. When a paper came under the door to go to the Gorbals Christian Center. So that night he came, and he was the most pathetic sight I had ever seen. Disheveled, his life was a mess. And he had all his belongings in a sack on his lap. So after the first part was done, we said, if anyone wants to accept this wonderful gift of salvation, you stay in your seat and we'll go to you. Well, Scotsman got up, got their tea and biscuits, and he stayed there. So we went to him, and that night he accepted the purpose of this Christ baby being born, the work of Calvary. He accepted it into his life. So when we got home, we sent him a Bible. Well, we went back to Scotland the next 4 years, but we were not in the Gorbals. On the fourth year, we went back. And I'm standing in the narthex, and I hear behind me, Sharon. And I turned around, and there stood Gordon, the most amazing, creative, divine power of what I'm talking about in a life. I was looking at it, and I gotta tell you, it took my breath away what Christ can do in a life. And of course, there was a lot of hugging from the three of us, and he had that Bible with him, and it was falling apart. And you know what this saying that says, if your Bible's falling apart, you're not. Because you're in there all the time getting a glimpse of who your Savior really is. Well, then sometime later, we got an email that said they had been at, I forget what they called them, but we did a lot of those where they would have a meal and people that were poor or had problems would come, and then they'd have a ministry. So the man, our name came up, and he said, I know who they are. And it was Gordon Nichols. What he does now is he works in Glasgow prison ministries and ministers to prisoners this wonderful gift that we're celebrating, that Christ came into the world and changed everything. Yet when you look in 2023, you won't see any nativity scenes up from a governmental level, because they have shut out the only hope that America or any nation has, and it's in Christ himself. He is God as well, the Trinity, God, Father, and Holy Spirit. And in him, this creative power can turn lives around. And as we are being built together, when someone mentioned this morning to love one another, there's not a lot of love in this world anymore, is there? But we have it dwelling in us. And the more we know of who Christ is, the more we're going to stand strong within him when we face things. So I want us to take a look in John 9, because this is an example of what I'm talking about. In John 9, we have the account of the blind man. In fact, I'm going to read it. As he went along, he saw a man. Now, this is Christ. Starting with the first verse in the 9th chapter. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who has sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, and then the account of what happened. Then we go down to the 13th verse. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. They couldn't see beyond the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, and the man replied, I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then as we go on, it says this. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about himself? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. Do you see how as time is going and they're talking to him? First it was a man, now a prophet. He's starting to grow. And they still did not believe him. So they went to the man's parents, talked to them. But they were so afraid of the Pharisees that if they would mention Jesus, they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. So they said, well, talk to our son. I'm trying to shorten this up a little bit. And because in verse 20 it says, we know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now who opened his eyes, we don't know, ask him. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Then as we go down, a second time they summoned the man and who had been blind. Give God the glory by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner, referring to Jesus. He replied, whether he is sin or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? This is where you see him getting stronger and stronger, and we have to take a lesson from this in our own life. He answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are a fellow disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. Then in verse 39, or is that it? Oh, anyway, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. What they did to him then was throw him out of the synagogue. But here's where I'm getting to. Sometimes when we stand strong for the Lord, the more we know him, the more we're going to stand strong because we're going to have to. It's coming our way. You're going to have to, when the Lord unctions you on inside and you can speak a word, do it. Then Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. And the Lord says the same thing to us when we have to face things. And believe me, if you want to stand strong for the Lord, you're going to face some few things. But our young people are watching. But the Father, the Holy Spirit, Christ, His Spirit that lives within us, He is the power. He has the, and I'm going to say it again, the creative power that when we speak for Him and that Spirit in us grows, that we can stand strong. Then when we think about it, what we're celebrating takes a different look. The power we have in Christ, the redemptive, divine power of the Lord Himself. And even though Joseph was here for a short time, he had a purpose. So in our lives, if we're here a short time, some of us are here for a long time, yet God has a purpose for each life that knows Him. This year, as we go through Christmas, make sure you tell the young ones in your life who Christ is and the miracle of His birth and what we are celebrating, because He came with a purpose. The purpose is Calvary. And I went over that last time, to pay for the sins of the world, because there is no other way. And in Him, we have life, and we have it more abundantly. And it has nothing to do with this world. It's the life of Christ that lives within us. And in our Bible study, we went through the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, it's all living within us. Just step out of the way and let the Lord flow through your life. So I pray that this time will be a joy for you. Concentrate on who your Savior really is, and you'll be amazed. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank You that You sent Your Son, yet You were in Him in that manger. Prince of Peace, the Creator, the Master Builder. Oh, Father, we have everything we need to walk through this life in You. Father, how blessed we are. May we really take a look at who You really are that will take our breath away. Father, help us to be a witness of the power of Your life in us, and that the young people in our life know what Christ has done for them. It's all in Your name, Father, and we praise You in Christ's name. Amen.